he's here.
Who?
The Batman.
Welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jason.
I'm Ian.
I'm Chris.
And today we're going to be starting off with our new series, talking about the different crews that are available to play in the Batman game. And it didn't take us very long to decide on which crew we were going to talk about first. We decided we were going to start with the most important crew in the game, the Big Bang Theory. No, sorry. We're actually going to start talking about the Batman crew. And because the crew is so large with so many options, we've decided to split this across two of these new shorter episodes and focus primarily on crews led by the Batman himself, with our next episode focusing on other options for leading the crew. So, Jason, what do you think? Tell us a little bit about the Batman crew itself and where it sits in the game.
They're like the solid A-listers. You know, everyone expects to be Batman. You want to be hitting the same strengths as they do. They're kind of just the annoying cops that are going to stop your plan, and Batman's leading them. They're, you know, the cancel crew.
Ian, anything else? So you want to throw in how you see them in the game?
I was just about to like head in with Jason there. So yeah, so Batman is very much, if you think of magic, it's definitely the blue crew, with like, you cancel the other person with your deck, with your abilities and things like that, and you're trying to control the other person. Not as hard as some other crews can do it, but they, I think they really play a different play style than most other crews because they're not the bad guys.
They're usually trying to stop people's plans instead of setting them up. And you can see that with some of the objective cards and some of their key traits, like a detective letting you reveal if you're further out.
As well as being one of the most iconic crews, because obviously it's what the game is named after and what people expect to see on the table, they are all about opposing your, as you say, like controlling them with blue, delaying what your opponent's doing so that you can put your plan and raise those into the right places. Chris, what about yourself?
No, I'm pretty much in agreement with the other guys. I don't think they're as controlling as some people kind of, you know, lead it to believe. Overall, it's a good starter crew. It's straightforward. Their deck just kind of works. Plus, it's Batman. I do think that they struggle a little bit. Even though being a starter crew, they may struggle to teach players how the game kind of operates because of the way the Inspire works. And typically, Batman goes off on his own.
Rely on radios.
Yeah, you definitely have to bring the radios. And it's kind of a shame that in the equipment list, you're almost forced to buy as many radios as possible, or you're kind of hamstrung into bringing models that could do the extra manipulates because you don't have that Inspire bubble.
Okay, so if you're seeing a Batman crew on the table for the first time and you're looking at how their deck operates and the sorts of key things that their deck is looking to do and how you're going to be building up your points to score and win the game, what are you actually going to be doing on the table? Chris, do you want to tell us a little bit about that? You played against him. I know you're more of a league player yourself.
Yeah, with Batman, the big thing is the turn one, you definitely want to take advantage of the Inspire, get the guys out along the board edges, and start laying down some suspects for the whole secure the perimeter. They got a lot of setup in the beginning, and if that turn one kind of goes south, I feel like they're going to struggle a lot more throughout the game. So they have one of the more important turn one setups that really rely on getting suspects down in the right spot to help score all the cards moving forward.
So how important is it overall in terms of the way that they're playing on the table to get those suspect markers down that you mentioned? You know, how does their deck work with that and their mechanics, Jason?
Well, I actually kind of disagree that turn one's super important. I mean, yes, it's important, but you could also just play it if you're running one of the hidden detectives, if you just have them near board edge away from the opposing crew. You should probably be good for most of the game, probably with a 26-point detective. But if you're not running that specific, you know, those specific models, then yes, If you're not taking Secure the Perimeter, who cares though, you know?
Yeah, they're one of the few that actually have, well, not really the few anymore, but they have a handful of cards that are based off of dropping your own suspects as well as revealing your opponents. So you kind of split your team into two. You got a couple of the cheaper henchmen cops hanging back, dropping suspects, and then your slightly more beefy guys are moving up to actually engage, which is really nice because there's some teams that don't need any engagement. They just sit back and say, hey, I'm going to play my game, and it's up to you to come and stop me. With Batman, you have a little bit of both. You got to hang back as well as move forward. It's a pretty decent balance through the whole deck. And if you try to cater directly to one and then fill the other half with generics, I think you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You have about six cards to reveal. So, or no, seven to eight, depending if you have character cards. Harvey. Three, another six for placing, Secure and Snitch. And then you have the oddballs, like, arresting. Let's say they won't see me coming, so those are all combat-related. Very mixed on, like, you know, Riddler or Joker, for example.
So you're saying there's a nice broad mix, and you're not although you are focusing a little bit on those suspects and suspect placements, both your own and the enemies, it's not the be-all and end-all. You're still able to do other things with the crew, and it does become important, you know, with areas of combat. It's not just about the control of those suspects, which is, again, maybe not quite as blue as some of the blue decks that you used to see if you're a Magic fan.
I mean, they do some good things with their, not just scoring, but also with the abilities of their cards and things. Help them manipulate the tokens on the field and also...
Crew, a high-scoring crew. I was saying, is it a high-scoring crew or is it a consistent scoring crew? You know, is this one that's going to... You say it's maybe not the best for new players, but once you've got a key grasp of the game, is it one that's going to deliver a solid total for you to be competitive?
I'd say yes. Unlike, you know, for those who really understand the game more, Riddler, he's very variable, but could definitely get high scoring. Batman seems very consistent. Could hit, like, I don't know, mid, you know, high 20s, low 30s. It's kind of what I'm expecting in a good game. If you get that good setup like Chris was talking about, those are points are just in the bag. Unless the opponent's going to go out of his way to stop you, but if he's doing that, he's not scoring. So you should be roughly about the same as your opponent.
So what we're saying is we've got a balanced crew that's reliably scoring in the mid to high range, although not spiking like some of the crews, but does take some finesse, particularly around the first turn or depending on choice of models. Talking about choice of models, what are some of the key sort of rules that you're looking for to bring in? Ian, what do you think, you know, sorts of key rules that you want to be bringing in on your models, considering the way that the deck plays? Are you looking for things like Detective?
Oh, yeah. Give me a softball there. Yeah, so Detective and obviously Arrest. Those are probably two of the card keywords that you need for your deck, but they're also very good just how this crew plays itself, because there's a lot of stun damage in Batman, so Arresting is your best way to get rid of people. And on top of that, with detectives allow you to place those suspects and have more freedom to place those suspects, even starting the game, placing and then moving and placing another one if you have an audacity on that model or order. So it's just good ways to start that suspect game strong, even with less models sometimes than your opponent.
Are there any other sorts of key abilities that you're looking for, or other key abilities that appear throughout the keyword or the faction?
Charismatic, especially with Batman himself, and then some of his more expensive free agent or sidekicks. So you can build like a more elite crew with him.
I think I would look for this, like, I don't know, there's some models that can really do a lot of high stun damage. You know, you got Damian Wayne's, Harrison Wells, I think, is a really interesting choice. To help support that Batman, because, I don't know, we just have already said Arresting is a key trait. You got to knock him out if you're going to arrest him. And a lot of the Batmans in particular, they're running off on their own. So it's kind of hard to get the cop by them. And a lot of them don't have arrest, but a few of them do. So I would look for, you know, Damian Wayne, give him some handcuffs, or Harrison Wells, or, again, the detectives, since they're close enough to Batman.
So one of the things that we're looking at with Batman separately for is the fact that there are just that many different options of Batman available. Obviously, some are eternal, we're not going to talk too much or if at all about any of the ones that are just in first edition, although they are available, but because they're more difficult for people, endings that people can actually play now. So how much does, if you're choosing a Batman as the leader, how much does the choice of the Batman that you are taking affect how you play?
Usually it's just like it depends on which Batman in particular. If I'm playing one that has a rest, I'm probably not going to worry too much about supporting him because I know he can go knock someone out, score me that three pointer, and all the Batmans are pretty durable, so I'm fine with them on their own, unlike other crews who I think need bodyguards, or as we'll talk about later with the non-Batman leaders. If I'm taking one that's really expensive, I might just start taking cheap models because I do feel in this game you generally need around seven models.
So if I had Chris, if you had to pick a Batman that would be your first choice if you were building a Batman list, not knowing what opponents you were picking, is there a particular choice that you've got as a favorite or?
I'm really liking the new Year One Batman, but that kind of ties into having another leader type model to help with the Inspires. If I were coming in and saying, hey, I want to just teach a new player, I still think the Dark Knight Batman with Bane or with Bailman, because of the arrest, you can kind of play him a little bit more aggressive and he can clean up for himself, which is something a lot of the other guys can't. They're for 150 points or 130 points to be a setup model just so somebody can else can come in to score the cards for the arrest is a little rough for me. But it's not bad. I mean, there's so many different flavors of Batman. I think it would be, am I bringing a Batman to just cover all of my bases, or am I bringing one in to, just have like the easier game? It's really tough because there's so many of them. Everything is so different. I mean, there's a few common traits between them all, but each one has its own distinct flavor, and I think that's what's really great about this crew. I mean, just Batman himself. I mean, we've always joked that we get a new Batman every 2.5 months on average. But I mean, even Adam West coming in, he's so cheap. He still does Batman, maybe not as durable, but the fact that for 75 points, that's literally half of the Arkham Knight or the Rebirth, and it's less than half than Multiverse. And he still kind of accomplishes the same thing. I don't know.
So,
I guess I could say I don't really know which one. I don't have a go-to. I don't have one that I'm like, yep, this is gonna be the first one that I throw on my list every time. It's almost like I'm gonna build the list and then decide which Batman I put in, instead of saying this is the one I take and then build my list around him.
yeah, no, I actually like that idea about it.
I would almost always pick starter set Batman. Now with Year One, I think that's the competition, but he is usually my A-lister, first one in. I want to take someone cheaper after I've built that list, I'll drop someone for DKR. That's how I build my list though.
So you're always going bed sheets first, and then
Generally,
if you need the points, then you swap them out.
yeah, I really value World Greatest Detective because if you don't get the first turn, you can plan the. I mean, even if you do, you're planning the opponent's opening move, and that's very strong. I know, I've seen him
So
play
just
really
to cover
well.
that for people that just to cover it for people that aren't familiar with the game, bed sheets is the affectionate name for the one who comes in the starter set, both the Back to Gotham and the new starter set, because he looks like he's carrying a load of bed sheets around. And just give us a brief rundown on World's Greatest Detective, what that does for us, Jason. Don't have to go into it
World's Greatest
specifically, but
Detective.
what it does to influence the game.
Yeah, you pick an enemy model, so you're obviously gonna pick a cheap henchman. They're gonna make a willpower roll, and if they fail it, they have to activate first. It sounds very simple because it is, but what that does is, maybe they have like a Lurita heavy like model that's gonna shoot someone dead. You'd be like, nah, go with Hobo Clown first or something crappy like that. And then you get two safe activations usually.
Yeah, and activation order in any sort of skirmish game, if you're an experienced player, you'll come to appreciate how much that is. If you're a new player, not having the choice of the model that you want to use first on a key turn can be something that really can throw you out. So it is something to be wary of. And that comes on the Rebirth and on the Back to Gotham bedsheets versions, which are two of the more expensive ones.
I mean, they're basically the same model.
Yeah.
Yeah, technically
Like, let's be
Rebirth is
real.
now Eternal, and he was essentially replaced with the Frank, not Frank Miller. Yeah, the bed sheets.
I put mine on a 40 mil, so I just play Rebirth as bed sheets.
Oh, nice.
Yo, I gave him a cool bat signal in the back. He's on a rock. It's pretty great.
That's why you use him. A lot of people don't like the model. They don't like the big rock that he's standing on. They don't like the pose.
I don't like the model at all for bed sheets. I'm like, nope. But yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I think now year one, though, is really probably going to become the mainstay. Because that one's just super great. And instead of picking activation order, to me, his biggest traits are... just you have more action economy and you're a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And he, I think year one is a great option going forward. I mean, potentially one of the stronger Batman options out there. I have to admit, I'm still a big fan of Modern Age coming in at, you know, just around 100 points, having the acrobat, having the martial artist, having the options to then run with Boy Wonder as well, who is exceptionally resilient against firearms. I just like that sort of mix of still having the attack and defense five, but obviously I lose the bat armor, so I am more vulnerable to those criticals and strength dice on ranged attacks. But he still seems to be my go-to in a lot of games. Although I do normally, if it's not him, it's DKR. I do also use Gaslight as well if I want an even cheaper option.
Highlight the Boy Wonder, very similar because he has Disarray, so you can move the Audacity counter. Very similar idea compared to a World's Greatest Detective. You're messing with your opponent's plan. Instead of it's an opening move, it's mid-game.
Now, we've talked about the fact that Batman can often move off and operate independently, and you focused how strong the DKR Batman can be because he's got that arrest rule built into him. How does the fact that he's moving off on his own affect the way that you're running the rest of the crew? Because obviously they're not going to necessarily benefit from Inspire after turn one. Or are you going to bring models in like the White Knight to a Batman crew to sort of accommodate for that?
I think that's just where you have to buy the two radios. It's almost just count that into your funding right away that you're buying those radios. So at that point, if you really want to go guns heavy, you have to find a model that's going to bring additional funding, or you're going to be so strapped that you can't really fit everything that you want to fit.
Yeah. So if you're running Alfred, the 30-point henchman that gives you extra funding, White Knight, as you've already mentioned, Darren, who does also help the Inspire, or play Adam West because he gives you 400 extra bucks.
The thing with Adam
Although
West...
he's not.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, I don't see Adam West running off and doing stuff on his own. So he's kind of the weird oddball because he has a rest. So you're going, sweet, he could go off on his own. But the being so weak and squishy, I'm a little worried about him. I think he would do better in more of a henchman ball.
Mm-hmm. You have teamwork with him, so you know, taking Burnt, you know, Boy Wonder or Burnt Ward. Now I know they have the upgrade to give someone else teamwork, so you can really help him stay safe for close combat. Ranged attacks is where he's scared.
But with these ones, the teamwork too for Burt Ward and Adam West specifically call out those models. So I don't think it works with other teamwork guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right on that. But
kind of
at least
shame.
They would benefit.
Yeah, I really wish that it was just left open as teamwork too. So that way you could bring in either another sidekick, or not a sidekick, but a free agent, or having the henchman that could have teamwork just to really help the cohesion, because they're lacking that right now.
But for the rep, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
Adam West is not gonna should not become the new meta.
No. Do you guys still feel like
we've got?
Oh, sorry. Do you guys still feel that Multiverse has a purpose in this now in third edition?
I know Darren said he likes him, but I'm not a fan. I think he's 160. You know, he's 162 points. You just kind of drop in. He does scared. He feels basically just a bit better stats than year one, and you're paying a lot more rep for it.
I was a big fan of him in second, Jason. I don't in third. I think my ideas I've changed because obviously true line of sight is a thing. It's not affecting him as much because you've got to be base to base, so you're not that concerned there. But I found that you can, although you can move through other models now, placing the 60 mil base is still up if depending on the crew you're going into. I've just not seen you people get the full value out of something that's basically half your crew. And if you lose him, and he can die, you're so far behind then. Or, you know, have they, although on the other hand of that, it can cost them so much effort to do that that you can run off and score elsewhere. So I can see both sides of the argument, but I tend to agree with you. I would go with a far cheaper version.
No, it's just all the reasons that he's probably not going to make up his points. He's probably not going to score you a bunch of cards because he doesn't have a rest innately. He doesn't have any of these weird traits that just buff up your crew, like interrogation that one has, or he's not a strategist or a searcher. He's not a mastermind. Doesn't help your crew pregame. So really, you just move around, beat someone up, and any models in contact with you are going to become scared. You got 4 turns to do that. Are you going to make up 162 points? I don't think so.
I still think there's a talk for him just because the amount of disarray that puts into the opponent's crew while the rest of your crew just kind of, you just hire White Knight and then a whole bunch of cops to go do the rest of your points while Batman just sits there and distracts the entire crew by himself.
They got White Knight and maybe like 4 cops, 4 or 5 cops.
Something like that. I don't know.
Is that going to score enough points to really make it up though? Because he's the top end of Batman, you know.
I never said it was good. I just said it could happen.
It's in life.
See, I'm more partial to Zur-En-Arr Batman just because he brings a broken model into the game, but that's also impossible for people to get. So I'm not gonna talk too much on that.
What do you guys think about the 2 shooty Batman, Flashpoint and Nightmare?
Nightmare's still dumb and broken and kills everything in his range. At least I don't know. That's what
combat
I think.
Style. He seems like a good model. I haven't necessarily played him though, just because, I don't know, I just like the normal Bruce Wayne Batman. It's just for thematic. You know, if I'm playing Batman, I kind of just want to go all in. Play Batman and some cops, you know, keep it basic. But I really like him.
I've used the Flashpoint one with the twin hand guns, not the new Thomas Wayne, but this was a limited edition one that's on the 30mm for those who haven't seen it. That is actually a leader for Batman. I liked him, but I wouldn't say I preferred him to like my normal choice of DKR or Modern Age. I'd probably still stick with one of them, to be quite honest with you. He was a little bit tankier with the 10 endurance though.
Yeah. Didn't he mileage out of the medic trait with him?
I've never seen it.
I was too busy just running off and shooting stuff, to be quite honest with you. When I'm looking at the medic trait, I'm looking for it elsewhere in the crew, and probably, you know, we mentioned it earlier, you know, if you bring in that extra funding that you need for the radios, that's where Alfred starts to come in for me as well, with having the medic trait.
I could see him getting a little mileage out of it, but you're not planning that, you know. But I could kind of see him playing, I haven't seen him in third, but in second, he's kind of with the crew. If you can get a shot off before you have to use instinctive shooting, then you just go and move in medic.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would see it. But if you're not going to get a good shot off, you're not using medic because you're going to move and do instinctive shooting.
Yeah, he's...
Or just, you know...
You know, he was designed in second edition where you had... You could load up your special with 3 counters to where you could do everything you needed to do. And now that you're limited to the 1 special, you're either going to be back clawing, punching somebody... Or, like you said, instinctive shooting and killing stuff. I don't see medic. And even then, why is your 133 rep model healing a model that's probably half his points or less?
Because he has an audacity and he has nothing else to do do with it.
At that point, I think if Flashpoint has nothing else to do, then he's just wrong positioned. There's something wrong with him at that point. Like, you're wasting that whole round if he has nothing else to do with that special.
I do think, just to kind of move the conversation over to medic in particular, if you're not loading up on it, I don't think it's as big a deal as it was in second, just with how high damage output in this game is now.
Very true. You're not trying to last 6 rounds anymore. For the most part, you're barely trying to last 3. You're just like, you know, cannonballing in there and trying to do as much as you can. And because you have cards, you're not sitting there going, well, I have to sit on this objective for 3-4 rounds to get my points out of it. Now it's, can I get 2, 3, or 4 cards off of this model? that's a good play for the model. You don't really even care if he lasts throughout the game anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've played Medic once with Batman. I think I put it in my list, but like I had one main list. I was running Batwoman and I had Damian. So I had Alfred and I think Cop 2. And I would just try ending my position in base contact to them because I didn't give them audacity. I'd just be like, hey, go to the Medic if you need it. But hopefully you can attack the opponent as well. I feel like I didn't maybe get the most mileage out of it, but it worked out because he was playing a very close combat crew, so he just met me.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with you. I don't think it has the same impact it used to have in second, because I think it was an amazing trait to have in second. Like I say, I'll mention him again, but Alfred was a staple in a lot of crews for that reason. The funding and that for only 30 rep. But now I just think the game has moved on a little bit, and that pace of the game and the way you're scoring doesn't make it. It's never going to be a bad thing to take damage off a model, but it's not as important as it was. Talking about sort of key models alongside the Batman that we've talked about, what are the sort of key models that you're looking to bring in a Batman type crew? You know, what are the key models in faction, either sidekicks, henchmen, or free agents? What do you reckon on that?
I mean, you guys have mentioned the White Knight a handful of times. I'm kind of torn on him. I like the model. I'm not a huge fan of him. He brings some interesting stuff, the charismatic, the inspire, and the scheming. He's got the special stuff, but I don't think you're really putting audacity on him. So realistically, he's just a 50-point walking inspire bubble to help out the rest of your crew. And then the scheming kind of helps position things for the future. But I don't think Batman crew needs scheming as often.
And you have a lot of options to get scheming.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. I do think the biggest thing is, though, his two specials are huge, Disarray, and the other one probably is not as huge, but you can look at the opponent's cards with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know.
But again,
depends on the list. I've seen it late game where it's like clutch play.
Yeah, but are you putting in an audacity on the White Knight just so you can use those, or are you going to be using the audacity elsewhere to make sure that the guys are doing what they need to do? That's the kind of tough spot with him.
Depends on the list, I suppose. If I'm picking Batman, let's say Larita, White Knight, Harvey, obviously then you're filling the rest out with cops, maybe Damian. How much rep we really have at work here. Depends on the Batman. I could see you giving him late game. You know, if your shooter's already lined up, you're going to get some models who really need it to move, manipulate, although you should be helping, and you have radio and you have double inspire now. So you're really only giving it to your Batman and then anyone who needs to move in close combat attack. Your shooters should hopefully have some line of sight.
So what about other options?
I mean, for the most part, you're going to fill your henchman list with detectives and cops first. And then if there's any rep left over that you got to squeeze a guy in that doesn't have one of those traits, that's when he goes in. I don't see, because of the way the deck is built, you're either requiring cops for some of the resources or you're requiring detective for a handful of the cards to score. So I don't know why you would, you know, immediately start filling in the henchman list with guys that don't have either one of those traits.
I would agree. And a lot of them have cop and detective as is. So I wouldn't, unless I'm playing, it's a very specific list, but the DKR, Frank Miller stuff, which I don't really, but I usually don't gravitate towards those models.
Yeah, they're although not the competitive. Double, they're just more for fun and fluffy.
Yeah, although the guy with the counterattack, defense 4, attack 4, I think he has a spot. I don't usually take him much. Harvey Bullock, he's the obvious one.
Bullock is normally the first henchman I add into every one of my lists.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bullock, Taser Cop, probably the Riot Gun Cop. Basically, all the new starters that guy is, and then pick your favorite SWAT, which is usually Larita, but I've definitely taken Sierra before because I want to save on funding, or Foxtrot because I think the Riot Shield and the Flash Grenade's interesting.
What about Flask now that we've seen him released? Do you think he's got a place in the crew now?
Flask, not so much in the Batman side of things. He's there for fun. But Harvey's going to do what he does, but better.
It's hidden. And
yeah. I think pretty much all of the new henchmen, or the henchmen that came in the starter box, are going to be your staples to the list. GCPD Detective is amazing. Merkel is really good. Of course, Bullock. So I think you're going to lean onto those ones first and then kind of fill it out with some of the older SWAT guys. And then,
you know, we would,
yeah.
What's his name? Year One Gordon. We were just talking about the 50-point White Knight, 46 rep. You taking Year One Gordon with a Batman? Coordination. He's effective. He comes with a bulletproof vest.
I think he's a really good model, especially if you're not taking Commissioner Gordon. Lieutenant Gordon is fantastic.
So talking about like the henchman options that they've got and taking models, particularly like Bullock and Gordon, that are around that sort of 40, 46 point range, do you ever find that you've got the space to put in the free agents that are available? Because obviously the Batman faction has access to lots of the free agents, you know, all the Titans, they've got the psychic options, things like Oracle. Do any of those actually come into play with the Batman-led list?
I think if your Batman is over 125, probably not. If you take one of the Batmans that are under 120, then now you can start actually looking at a reasonable free agent to squeeze in there.
And do you have any preferences?
I mean, they're all good in their own way. Some are better than others, obviously. But Oracle at 50 is the only one I'm considering if I'm taking, let's say, that 140-point Batman. Because she does play that pregame, and she is very annoying to deal with. But I don't typically take her a lot. But, you know, it's a good option, I think.
Is there any other shout-outs or honorable mentions you want to give to models out there?
I mean, Rebirth Red Hood is just phenomenal. It's kind of dirty, actually. He's very strong. He comes with Searcher, which is a mean trait. The one shotgun's cute, but really, you're just taking him for that crowbar. So if you want an 80-point model that's going to beat somebody, he's a good pick. He feels like a third edition version of what Nightwing would be, although both Nightwings are still really good. I think everyone on the cast knows I like Tim Drake, although sadly I don't think he's really that competitive. But if you're looking for someone with order and you just want to play thematic, I've definitely played him and, you know, got some worth out of him, but I would take Red Hood over it every time.
You know, I think Starfire actually has a decent spot in the list now that they've updated invulnerability.
You know,
some of the things, she was always a little squishy, only having endurance 5. So she went down pretty easy, but invulnerability really helps with that. And her steel hands, you're knocking out most models that you're going to go in and take out pretty easily, to where somebody can go up and follow up with an arrest. 85, I think, is a little high for that. But you can make that work pretty well.
What about Rebirth Harley? Plus.
Rebirth Thank Harley you. Still works really well, too.
Give Michi's triple stun, 7-7 instead of, I think Starfire's a 6-6, but you have invulnerability.
6-5.
6-5.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, so I don't know. Harley might not be a bad pick. You get an objective card, which, oddly enough, Batman probably could score for you really well. So it's... Yeah, I've not played with her in a Batman career yet, but I played with her with the Riddler, and I thought she's not as consistent damage dealing, but triple stun, it's nice.
See, now that just makes me want to try to recreate the Batman and Harley movie, where Batman, Nightwing, and Harley team up.
Or just Injustice, because Batman and Harley be working together.
Yeah,
that's basically
we don't Harley need to see the Batman and Harley movie. It was terrible.
What? No way! No way. That was a fantastic movie.
It's great.
I loved it.
I don't know.
I love cheese, though. So
I thought it was fun.
It's a guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. It's something you can watch, but then switch off your brain afterwards. It's fine.
You might want to switch it off before you watch it, too.
True. So that's just some of the thoughts on what models and we put into the crew and how we see the playing. Do you guys have any particular strategies or tricks that you'd like to share with the audience before we sign off this episode?
Detectives at the edge of your deployment zone can place suspect markers at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
Yep, without moving. They could just drop it straight up, walk up, and drop another one a lot of times with the radio or Inspire.
Or walk the detective. Place one suspect 3 inches to your left, another one 3 inches to your right.
Yeah,
not while you're in the deployment zone.
Yeah, I don't think you can make the map fit.
I'm thinking hidden levels here.
Oh,
but yeah, if you're in the deployment zone,
which ironically, a lot of the detect models also have hidden or undercover.
Besides Flass, would make Flass better.
Yeah,
you know, then he's just competing for Bullock. Yeah, no, I mean,
no, New Gordon.
I guess for
New Gordon ordering, not ordering, but. Coordinating with Larita is really gross. So Larita does his super trick where he jumps through the sewers and shoots somebody, and then Gordon comes up and says, hey, do it again. Really nasty. So if you see a Larita and Lieutenant Gordon on the list, take out one of those models as soon as possible.
Probably Larita. That's the one I'd take out, because he's still going to shoot you even without Gordon. Gordon's just speeding the process up.
I think Larita's been a key target ever since he was released, let's be honest. And for those of you, again, that are new to the game, haven't come across him, his assault carbine is putting out consistent blood damage, moving, shooting accurate with the red dot, and it's a model that you should learn to hate, apart from me, unless you're playing the faction, in which case you love him.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, I really wanted to do that with Foxtrot and just be like, your whole crew is blinded, and just like be like, we're done.
Yeah.
But I think blind's going to change slightly. So I don't know if that's going to be as great. But it's still dirty. I think Larita's probably just more consistent, though. But like, let's say you're not playing Larita and you're just playing cops, though. Just having the ability to go, hey, cop, move again. Thank you. You just moved. And let's say you're 8 to 10-inch cop. You know, you can move them across like 20 inches. 16 to 20. Pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else sneaky, or do you want to keep it in use and not share it?
I can't really think of much. I don't know. I think Harrison Wells is actually a decent option if you have the funding, just because it's triple stun, and he makes those radios cheaper. So you're kind of going to save. I mean, you're still going to end up paying more with him and your crew, but he doesn't seem as bad at 500 because you're getting a half off on the radios and on magazines if you're going to take those. But yeah, I think that's really it for the Batman side. You know, Batman's a solid crew. They're all great. And, you know, it plays how you think it would. Batman's going to go beat people up and tell them, stop your job. Your game is up, Joker.
I think you've covered it there. You know, in summary, it's an iconic crew for the game because the game's named after it. You're going to get some fantastic models in there. You're going to be playing with the suspect markers, both yours and your opponents. You're going to be engaging in combat. So you're going to be doing a lot of different things, enjoying a lot of different aspects of the game. And being generally competitive as well as scoring consistently, if not spiking the scoring. So, yeah, I think it's a fantastic crew. Maybe not the easiest one to learn off straight away, but after a few games under your belt, I think it's a crew that you could start to learn to master quite well. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
They're the good middle to hit.
Okay, well, this was our first episode sort of trying out this this new format, keeping episodes a little bit shorter and focusing on the crew and trying to give you a bit of a help. Let us know what you think, guys. You know, have we gone into too much technical information? Do you want us to talk about it a bit broader? Because we're going to try and go through all the crews and get these out on a regular, consistent schedule. But unless you guys have anything to add, any other comments from you guys?
I guess not.
See you next time. Same bat channel.
This was the Arkham Gaze Files on the same bat time, same bat channel. The inmates were definitely running the asylum at the end there. Thank you very much for listening.